Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael reading the first story from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, published Friday, March 25th, 2022. Front page. Biz Buzz. Local agency creates workforce solutions. The Energy People Group looking to emphasize HR as core strategy. By J.C. Lewis. The Energy People Group recently celebrated the company's one-year anniversary last week. The on-demand human resources, consulting, and recruiting agency for local businesses and nonprofits wants to change how people view human resources. Co-owners Melissa Hooper and Teresa Rodriguez have watched the need for their expertise grow in the community. "It has been a whirlwind opening," Hooper said. "Teresa and I are former Concho folks. We looked at each other and talked about how local small businesses could benefit from our caliber and expertise in human resources and beyond. Companies that need to fully outsource the HR function or supplemental options for their teams can find help at the Energy People Group." Rodriguez added that it has been great to share their knowledge with companies about HR, which some people might be scared of. "We are people operations," Rodriguez said. "Also, some companies might not have the funding for in-house HR because it's expensive." The two said they didn't realize how big the demand for their services would be. The company works to create workforce solutions for small businesses and focuses on performance management, manager training, succession planning, team building, employee relations, compensation, and guided payroll. Hooper said HR is constantly in the news. "These are really unprecedented times with the pandemic. What does going back to work look like? What is the employer's role in health and wellness? What are employees' rights?" she said. Another interesting aspect has been the pace of inflation and the refill rate. Hooper added, "Due to the pandemic, a lot of people, especially in the area, retired early or were given packages." She said that contributed to a tight labor market with an unemployment rate around 4%. Retention issues have continued due to inflation, which has employees looking for higher wages even if they are happy at their current job. "We either have to bring people in or train them up," Hooper said. "The solutions that we are seeing are a variety of options, including operational efficiencies. Midland has a lot of quality candidates here, but there is a lack of knowledge in the skill sets and training required. So a lot of what the company does is new manager training, middle manager training, and teaching employees how to have tough conversations," Rodriguez said. "We're trying to rebrand HR into people operations because I think HR has a bad rap and people don't fully understand what we do," she said. "When we sit down with folks and start talking about it, they start realizing that this isn't back-end admin stuff. It is core strategy for their business." The company also gives small business owners the chance to step out of the HR office. They work to humanize interpersonal systems and improve employee engagement, development, and retention. Teresa has this great saying that I really like. "We are for everybody. We are for the employee. We are for the employer," Hooper said. "It's helping to facilitate some of those discussions that are key to retaining people." "The pandemic also has changed how work happens now," Hooper added. Rodriguez said it is currently an employee's market, where employees hold the cards. Companies are trying to keep employees motivated and engaged, while they're also trying to compete with other companies, Rodriguez said. "We do help by offering programs and different options to help the company's retention." Hooper added that companies are having to look at things like whether employees like their managers or not that have become an important aspect of work. "The pandemic's flexible schedule has also changed the environment because employees have found that they can work from home while being successful at their tasks. They aren't wanting that time in the office or time commuting because they can accomplish everything at home, Rodriguez added. The name, the Energy People Group, was chosen because they wanted to bring energy into the HR space and bring life to the employee experience, so the name resonated with the duo. The Buzz. Southern Snow is under new ownership, but the business will continue operations this summer. The Snow Cone business will be taking questions on bookings for summer events on their Instagram page at southernsno.co. Midland AF will be hosting a local entrepreneur mixer from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. March 28th at Second Story Coworking. It is a kickoff event that will start a monthly gathering aimed at creating a community of support and inspiration for entrepreneurs in Midland. The event is open to any local business owners or aspiring local business owners. The 2022 Sewell Leadership Event will be from 9 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. March 29th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The event will feature speakers John Maxwell, Tim Tebow, and Andy Stanley. Tickets are available at event.etix.com/online/performance-sale. The Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce will be hosting a career fair from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on April 6th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel Midland Plaza.
Riders find resources in bus system by Iris Foster. The wheels on the bus go round and round and have done so at Easy Rider 6 days a week for the past 2 years of the pandemic, with the exception of 4 days last February during the deep freeze. So far, the public transit system hasn't shut down for COVID, but there have been a lot of absences among drivers that supervisors have scrambled to fill. Therefore, Easy Rider is always looking for caring folks with good driving records. "We serve groups of people who have no other transportation options," said Douglas Province, general manager of the Midland-Odessa Urban Transit District, which operates Easy Rider in both cities. "That makes the drivers essential to their lives. Furthermore, 60 to 80 people per day take our buses to dialysis centers. They can't drive, and many are in wheelchairs. In my opinion, that puts the drivers just below healthcare workers as essential." So who are some of those individual dedicated who have been as dependable as postal carriers? Julian Carrillo has worked for Easy Rider for 10 years, and he's all about customer service. He previously worked for 23 years for Walmart with the same focus. He gets up early Monday through Thursday and works 5 a.m. to 3 p.m., so passengers going to work can catch his bus on Midland Route 3 beginning at 6:10. He sometimes helps out on Fridays and Saturdays, especially during the pandemic. He caught COVID on the job, he believes, despite wearing gloves and masks, so he substitutes for other drivers who get sick and must quarantine. Over the years, he's seen better buses added to the fleet and always wants to see more. He likes the new, colorful uniforms and is proud to be a bus driver. With a CDL license, Carrillo has also spent weekends carrying teams from Laredo to Houston and from Presidio as a driver for All Aboard America charter buses. Cheers for this bus driver. Javis Mitchell has been driving a fixed route for the past 8.5 months. Formerly a caterer for 5 years, he was attracted by the wages and especially the free insurance. A family man, he's been able to work nearly full-time and says the overtime pay is amazing. Mitchell is behind the wheel of one of the newer buses on Route 4 Monday and Thursday and Route 6 Friday and Saturday. Since he drives a smoke-free vehicle, he says the job helped him quit smoking. "I like being able to interact with the community, communicate with passengers, and see different parts of Midland and Odessa. I would most definitely recommend driving and for Easy Rider to a friend because you can make great money. The free insurance even allows you to talk to counselors if you need to, and your uniform is provided and cleaned at no cost." Climbing aboard Easy Rider requires a prepaid ticket, which can be obtained from HEB, City Halls in both Midland and Odessa, Midland College, Odessa College, Casa de Amigos, the Senior Centers in Odessa, and from several other community organizations. At Easy Riders, there's a new staff member, Melissa Jimenez, on hand to walk potential passengers through their routes and help facilitate satisfactory riding experiences. To reach her, call 561-9990, extension 116. Easy Rider Management has been very proactive during the past 3 years in securing funding to replace its aging fleet of both fixed route and paratransit vehicles. You will notice more and more new buses throughout the two cities, as well as friendly, careful drivers. These are just a couple of the improvements of 2022 to make Easy Rider more user-friendly and a nicer place to work. Garlic Press, Serving Up New Things While Sticking to Roots, by J.C. Lewis. A Midland staple since 1999, the Garlic Press continues to offer an eclectic menu which features changes weekly. Executive chef Joshua Washburn started working at the restaurant in 2001 and eventually became executive chef, then took over the restaurant in 2005. He purchased the restaurant from Mike Hyatt and Cindy Stangby, who wanted to move to Florida. The Garlic Press is a neighborhood restaurant, one for travelers and a spot that is comfortable but still receives high-end food and service. He was in the restaurant business long before moving to town. "I grew up in the restaurant business," he said. "I started working in kitchens when I was 14. I worked my way through various kitchens in Austin, where I grew up. Then I moved to Midland in 2001. Washburn actually met his wife, Gerinda, at the Garlic Press shortly after the announcement he would be taking over the restaurant. Gerinda Washburn is the pastry chef and is in charge of one of the most expansive dessert menus in town. The dessert menu also has drink pairings available. "Most dessert menus in town, with a few exceptions, have only 3 or 4 selections," he said. "There's anywhere between 7 and 10 selections on our dessert menu at any one time. They are scratch-made in-house. We bake 3 times a week and make our own sorbets in-house as well. The ever-changing menu keeps the chefs and staff interested." He said the kitchen staff will throw out their ideas, discuss them, then make different iterations of the idea until it's a featured dish. He added that the restaurant has had challenges with finding staff recently, like every business. "The last few years, labor is certainly a big issue in regards to kitchen staff. We have a very fun environment to work in, so between the creativity our staff is allowed to have, we've been able to retain quite a bit of our kitchen staff." He said the hands-on scratch type from kitchen has also lent itself to an environment where they promote from within. During his second year as executive chef, the restaurant started doing the annual beer and wine dinner series. The dinners are typically 5-course meals paired with 5 or 6 drinks. He said they will make a selection of wine or beer first, then create a menu around those drinks. The last beer dinner was during October last year. "COVID has put a large dent in our special events as well as staffing. We do hope to pick those up perhaps this fall or end of summer." The Garlic Press's iconic wine cork ceiling was started in 2006 and completed in 2012. He said there was no shortage of corks to create the feature. "It started as a project to help with the acoustic issues in the room, which had echoed while people were enjoying conversations over meals." He said they don't know exactly how many corks are on the ceiling, but from their own scientific sampling, they have determined there are between 80,000 and 100,000 corks. There are a whole variety of corks up there. On the ceiling above particular tables, there are signed corks from milestones like wedding proposals that people have had us glue it above that table. Washburn said his favorite dishes usually include the seafood specials that change weekly. 2 or 3 times a week, we'll have a new seafood item rotating in and out. I'm a fan of seafood, so any number of those are my favorites. of the Midland food scene. Washburn said he has watched a lot of chains move into town, but in the last few years he's seen more local mom-and-pop restaurants, private personal chefs, and people that do pop-up events. There are quite a few more talented chefs in Midland than there used to be. It has raised the bar for the rest of us. Some of his favorite places to eat include Cancun Grill, Venezia Restaurant, Wall Street Bar and Grill, which he has been going to since he came to Midland, and his favorite craft cocktail spot is the Blue Door. He said he loves the restaurant's location because it's a northern expansion of Old Midland. The shopping center has evolved but kept its classic charm with its beautiful oak trees. As far as plans moving forward, Washburn said nothing is quite off the table. We are considering opening for lunch, he said. We would love to perhaps bring a brunch on board. We've been toying with a lot of different ideas. Hours of operation are 5 to 9, Tuesday through Saturday. For the latest specials, head on over to the restaurant's Facebook page at www.facebook.com, The Garlic Press. Tickets for the Jimmy Buffett performance go on sale today by J.C. Lewis. Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band will play for the Wagner Noel Performing Arts 10-year anniversary celebration on May 5th. Tickets for the event will go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Tickets will be $100 to $304. Buffett has been regaling audiences for more than five decades with songs about the faces and places he's seen during his lifetime journey along the road less traveled. Buffett's music tells the stories of the hustlers, the beach bums, and the pirates from all corners of the world. Through it all are themes of escapism, wanderlust, and an unbridled curiosity that makes life a journey worth taking. In 1977, Margaritaville launched a laid-back anthem about escapism and life in the tropics. The song spent 22 weeks on the Billboard chart, peaking at number 8. It catapulted Buffett to national fame, and a decade later inspired Buffett's Margaritaville business empire. Now, after 30 studio albums, New York Times best-selling books, a Broadway play, numerous movies and television appearances, Grammy nominations and Academy of Country Music and Country Music Association awards, music still inspires Buffett. Most recently, in 2020, Buffett released the number 2 Billboard debut, Life on the Flip Side, and Songs You Know by Heart, an acoustic album of lesser-played fan favorites. Sherry Lynn Parker passed away on February 12th. Memorial is set for March 26th at Ellis Funeral Home at 2 p.m. Patricia Ann Hodges passed away on March 20th. A funeral mass will be held on Friday, March 25th at 12 noon at St. Anne's Catholic Church. A mass of Christian burial will occur Friday, March 25th at 1 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Friday, March 25th. Attorney wants manslaughter trial moved. 6-year-old Odessa twins were killed in July 2019 by Kim Smith. The defense attorney for an Odessa woman accused of killing twins in an alcohol-related crash almost 3 years ago is asking the judge in her case to move the trial, arguing she can't possibly get a fair and impartial trial in Ector County. In a motion filed Thursday afternoon, Michael McLeish said the media's coverage of Angelica Garcia's case has many times included false and actually salacious statements about her condition at the time of the wreck. The media has reported Garcia was so intoxicated she urinated on herself when, in fact, she lost control because she was terrified, McLeish said. The defense attorney said that despite the stories, Garcia did not slur her words because she was intoxicated, but rather because her mouth suffered an injury that required stitches. In addition, Garcia's eyes were bloodshot because she had been crying, he wrote. McLeish also attributes the accident not to Garcia being intoxicated, but to suddenly being confronted with a fireworks stand in the middle of what she thought was a road. In addition to the initial coverage of the incident, McLeish said potential jurors had been tainted because the local TV stations have rehashed it every year since during a sort of anniversary news program. Vehicles are also frequently seen traveling throughout Odessa with signs stating justice for Mia and Maya, and an online petition demanding the same has been signed by more than 20,000 people, McLeish wrote. Stories found on Google assert Garcia was a drunk driver who killed twins, despite the fact she's not been convicted, McLeish said. Garcia, 38, was indicted on 2 counts of intoxication manslaughter and 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in connection with the July 3, 2019 deaths of Mia and Maya Coy. According to authorities, Garcia was driving a Chrysler 200 east on the North Service Road of East Highway 80 near Club Drive when she went through a barricade and struck the 6-year-old twins who were standing near a fireworks stand. The children were pronounced dead at Medical Center Hospital. Police said Garcia admitted she had been drinking at a lounge and showed signs of intoxication. Judge Dan Whalen of the 70th District Court has been assigned the case. Construction begins on affordable housing by Royal McGregor. On Thursday afternoon, ground officially broke on the 12-plot development for affordable houses on the south side of Odessa. The development was spearheaded by the Odessa Housing Finance Corporation with its partnership with Rhodes USA and NEO Construction. The affordable housing development is located in the 1200 block of La Mesa Street, about a block south of Murphy Street. The development is a cul-de-sac that will feature 6 houses on the north and south sides of the street. During the groundbreaking ceremony, there were 6 speakers that included OHFC Executive Director Jill Miller, Rhodes USA Director Emmanuel Pappas, State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Odessa City Manager Michael Marrero, Odessa City Council Member for District 1, Mark Mata, and Odessa Development Corporation Member David Boutin. "This is such a big passion project for me," Mata said of the ceremony. Miller said this project has been more than a decade in the making. She said this 12-house development will be known as Smith Heights. After the ceremony, Miller explained she knows there are agencies in Odessa that need affordable housing. She also explained OHFC can help homebuyers cover up to $20,000 in closing costs that would be in a form of a second lien that would be forgiven if the homeowner lives in the house for 5 years. "We need people that stay in our community and are part of our community," Miller said. These 12 houses will have steel framing. Pappas explained during his speech that steel framing was manufactured in Lubbock and the material is durable. Papa said it takes about a day for frame construction to be completed. He believes the prefabricated frames helps speed along the building process. "We believe there are significant savings," Papa said. "Everything is prefabricated, so all they are doing is standing up the wall panels and then putting the roof trusses on. The prefabricated is the saving on time." Though the groundbreaking at the 12-house Smith Heights development just took place, the OHFC, with its partners of Rhodes USA and NEO Construction, won't have to wait long to begin another project, as a 33-housing development about 2 blocks south of the 1200 block of La Mesa Street will begin soon. OHFC has also been approved for a 53-lot development at the intersection of East Pool Road and Rochester Avenue. Mata said he's pleased with the ability to bring affordable housing to the south side of Odessa. He said he has also been approached by other developers about bringing houses and businesses to his district. "The growth out here on the south side is just beginning," Mata said. "There's more to come." Gatlin, headlining Ukraine event Saturday. show is free and will feature a prayer event. Country and gospel singer and Odessa native Rudy Gatlin is returning to the Permian Basin this weekend to host a free prayer vigil and concert to show support for people of Odessa, Ukraine. The event will take place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday at the MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome, 6201 East Business 20 in Odessa. The prayer vigil and concert are free thanks to support from John Bushman and ICA. The MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome's parent company, ICA, is donating the event venue and logistics. Gatlin is a former Odessan who hit it big with the Gatlin Brothers and his own solo work. Rudy is a very good Christian guy, and we sure appreciate it, CEO of ICA John Bushman said. This is complimentary for everybody. We're not going to charge. The First Baptist Church Choir is also slated to participate. It's open to anybody and everybody, particularly anybody that believes in God, Bushman said. We have open arms. For over 65 years, Gatlin has performed alongside his brothers Larry Gatlin and Steve Gatlin, who make up the band the Gatlin Brothers. All three brothers hail from Odessa and are graduates of Odessa High School. They've returned to the Permian Basin numerous times to perform, including during the Ector County Independent School District 100th celebration last year, before the Odessa High Permian football game. It feels so good to me to hear an entertainer of national and international accords and stand up and witness Christ and not want a dime for anything and to actually do stuff other than talk about it, or go off and instead talk about God Almighty, Bushman said. That is very heartwarming to be able to share and to host this thing from a venue standpoint and have that kind of guy in Odessa. Quick hits. Food Drive Charity Friday. Holy Redeemer Catholic Church, 2633 Conover Avenue, has scheduled Food Drive Charity Friday from 10 a.m. to noon today. Food donations are welcomed. Annual Giant Hangar Sale. The CAF Desert Squadron, 411 East Yukon Road, has scheduled the 6th Annual Giant Hangar Sale from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. today and Friday. There will be furniture, household items, clothes, toys, fabric, knitting, plumbing supplies, craft supplies, glassware, jewelry, dishes, appliance, and more. For more information, call Mel at 432-559-8961. Carnival. The Wright's Amusements Carnival has been scheduled from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 5 p.m. to midnight Friday, noon to midnight Saturday, and noon to 10 p.m. Sunday through April 3rd at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Peace, Love, and STEM Festival. The UTPB STEM has scheduled Peace, Love, and STEM Festival from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Man Charged with Shooting Stepfather by Kim Smith. An Odessa man who accused his stepfather of pointing a gun at him found himself being arrested instead when his stepfather landed in the hospital with a gunshot wound to the neck. According to an Odessa police report, officers were dispatched to the 3800 block of Hinkle Street shortly before 8 p.m. Tuesday about a subject with a gun. Robbie Washburn, 31, told an officer his stepfather pointed a gun at him. He pushed him away, and the stepfather fired two shots into the ceiling. He said his stepfather grabbed the shell casings and fled. The officer found two bullet holes in the ceiling, but he also saw other bullet holes in the door frame and door of a living room closet, inside the closet, and then in the door of a hallway closet, the report said. The officer found the stepfather at Medical Center Hospital, and he told him Washburn had punched him in the face, knocked him to the ground, and seized his Taurus revolver from his holster. According to the report, the stepfather said Washburn fired five shots into the air before putting the gun to his head and firing a shot, The bullet hit his neck instead. Washburn's sister told police her brother confessed to shooting their stepfather. The officer saw a gunshot wound on the back of the stepfather's neck and redness and swelling on his face. Washburn was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and tampering with physical evidence because officers were unable to find the shell casings. Both crimes are felonies. Murie, attendance critical to student success. The importance of school attendance turned out to be an integral factor in data on student growth reviewed by Ector County ISD board members this week. Superintendent Scott Murie discussed this, the location of a new high school, his appointment to the State Board of Educator, certification, and other items during Wednesday's media call. As we looked at the growth of our students in the first semester, we recognized that there's a direct correlation between the amount of days a child is absent from school and the growth of that child, Murie said. The more that they've missed school in the first semester, the less they grew, and it was very clear last night, March 22nd. Those students that grew the most during the first semester were kids that missed between 0 and 5 days of school, and the next tier, 6 to 10 days, grew the second most. So a clear correlation between the amount of time students are attending school and their academic performance. We have always known that, but once again, the data that we looked at this week was a stark reminder of the critical importance of attendance in the education of our children, he added. Murie added that COVID has significantly subsided in ACISD, and the district wants to encourage parents to make sure their children are attending school every day because attendance is just critical to the success of our kids academically. Once again, we saw that especially during the first semester, he said. Asked how you prompt students to attend school, Murie said that has been a challenge for more than 100 years. First and foremost, I think it starts with making sure that our families know and understand the importance of school attendance. We all need to understand just the importance and the value of being in school every day. Our data indicate that it's critical to the success of our kids, Murie said. He added that adults need to help students understand that having a positive, powerful experience in pre-kindergarten through 12th grade will provide many open doors once they enter the post-secondary world and ultimately life. Education is the ticket to a successful future, and we want to make sure that as a community we know that and understand that. But attendance is critical. Daily attendance is critical to success in school. At Tuesday's meeting, the board also decided on a location for a new high school should the May 7th $398,255,000 bond pass. The location chosen was 100 acres that the district already owns at Yukon and Faudry Roads, across from Park's Bell Ranch. The land was purchased in September 2015 for a little more than $2 million. Proposition B for $183 million would pay for a new comprehensive high school for 2,500 to 2,800 students. Proposition A for $215,255,000 would include maintenance and life cycle repairs, replacement for school district buildings, $130,255,000. Construction of a new career and technical education center for $70 million, and classroom technology upgrades for $15 million. Early voting is April 25th through May 3rd at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, 1010 East 8th Street. Murie also said he has been appointed to the State Board of Educator Certification by Governor Greg Abbott. He added that it is an incredible honor. I'm excited to represent not only Ector County, but the entire West Texas region in this opportunity. This board provides oversight for all educator certification in the state of Texas and includes institutions that develop our future teachers and leaders, the colleges and university programs that are developing those individuals that will serve our students in this capacity, Murray said. TxDOT warns of major traffic switch coming to Loop 338 and East Yukon Road. A Texas Department of Transportation press release detailed a major traffic switch will severely limit access to East Yukon Road as the overpass project on East Loop 338 and East Yukon Road takes the next step in construction. TxDOT says the traffic switch is scheduled to go into effect Tuesday and be in place for 8 weeks. The project will force the closure of the Yukon Road crossover of Loop 338, as well as the segment of Yukon Road between Loop 338 and Faudry Road. There will be no way to cross Loop 338 from one part of Yukon to the other part of Yukon. TxDOT says the northbound Loop 338 will not have any way to access Yukon Road. The southbound Loop 338 will be able to turn west onto Yukon. The eastbound Yukon Road traffic will be forced to turn south on Loop 338. Since the intersection is coming out for the short term, the traffic signals will be removed. Only eastbound Yukon Road will have a stop sign in this phase. We realize this is a huge inconvenience for motorists, but it really is a necessary step as we build this overpass, interim Odessa District Engineer Lauren Garduno stated. This is an important project for the community, and we do not take these steps lightly. We appreciate the patience of the traveling public as they have to find alternate routes for their daily routines because of this project. There are two major alternate east-west routes for those who routinely use Yukon Road, Highway 191 and 52nd 56th Street, the road that has a traffic signal on East Loop 338, between Yukon Road and Highway 191. The speed limit has been reduced to 65 miles per hour on Loop 338 through the construction zone. A heavy law enforcement presence may be in use at times to improve safety. At some stages, a width restriction will be put in place in the work zone. The overpass project is scheduled to be completed in mid-2023. Motorists are reminded that state law requires them to obey warning signs and flaggers in the work zone. Regal Construction, Inc. of Euless won the project with a low bid of a little more than $15.7 million. Backyard Brains Gauge visits ECISD. White House Champion of Change, Dr. Greg Gauge, will be in the ECISD classrooms today and was also here Thursday. Electrical engineer, neuroscientist, entrepreneur and TED speaker, Gauge is a speaker and teacher. His company, Backyard Brains, endeavors to make neuroscience for everyone. He is also an adjunct assistant professor at the University of Michigan. Gauge is a really fun, down-to-earth educator whose passion is K-12 STEM. Gauge will be on ECISD campuses both days, leading workshops for teachers and students to learn together, offering hands-on learning, and delivering TED-style presentations for students. Gauge will be at the Odessa High School Performing Arts Center from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. today. During that time, 4 separate sessions for students from 37 campuses will be presented. He begins with a TED-style talk before engaging kids with hands-on activities, including electrophysiology, reading brain signals. Ella Noel, OXI, and ECISD expand Art to Go program. The Ella Noel Art Museum announced via press release a mid-year art supply restock for schools participating in the museum's Art to Go program, sponsored by OXI. The Ella Noel is launching the first art supply restock with a press event at 9:30 a.m. Wednesday at Dowling Elementary. The event will include remarks from Ella Noel Executive Director Sheila Perry, followed by a question-and-answer session and photo opportunities. Members of the media have been invited to join representatives from the Ella Noel Art Museum, ECISD, and OXI as they hand out art supplies. This event is closed to the public. Oxy, a leading energy producer in the Permian Basin, was the first company to pledge a large multi-year gift for Art2Go. This was the largest donation the Ellen Newell has ever received for a single program. This generous gift has allowed the museum to expand and maintain the program in ECISD elementary schools and to begin piloting Art2Go in 5 MISD schools this year. As part of Oxy's commitment, the company will donate art supplies to every single second grader in ECISD and in the 5 participating MISD schools to support these students for the remainder of the school year. The Ellen Newell Art Museum is proud to partner with Oxy to bring Art2Go to every second grade class in ECISD and to begin expansion to MISD. With this support, Oxy demonstrates their continued commitment to making the Permian Basin a great place to live, Perry stated. Together, this partnership is giving us an opportunity to use art as a way to enhance the educational experiences of children across the community. The museum has a well-established relationship with ECISD, and we look forward to continue working together as well as developing a relationship with MISD. Prior to this event, COVID restrictions had delayed visits from Oxy representatives who had been excited to meet with students, teachers, and staff. The museum is ready to celebrate their partnership with Oxy as they help with the first art supply restocks at schools throughout ECISD and MISD. What's going on? Champions for Children Conference. Harmony Home Children's Advocacy Center has scheduled a Champions for Children Conference at 7:30 a.m. today at MCM Grande Hotel and Fun Dome, 6201 East I-20 Business Loop. Keynote speakers will be Carla Solomon and Carrie Kane. The conference is focused on educating the community and professionals in recognizing the signs, symptoms, and effects of child abuse, as well as how to respond to outcries of child abuse. Topics will include family feud, legal requirements and procedures, children with problematic sexual behavior, who are they and how can we help, abusive head trauma, child abuse, skin findings, suspected child abuse and neglect, case studies and human trafficking. There will also be an opportunity to sign up for off-site trainings such as the Stewards of Children, Darkness to Light training available to all members of the community in the Permian Basin. The Champions for Children Conference is an approved provider for continuing education credits. CEUs will be offered by Midland Memorial Hospital. Social work CEUs will be provided by Midland Independent School District. TCOLE hours provided by Odessa Police Academy. Certificates will be sent by mail after the conference. Breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack will be provided and included in the cost of the registration fee. Tickets are $50. West Texas Jazz Society. The West Texas Jazz Society has scheduled a night with the LA All-Stars at 7:30 p.m. today at the Wagner Newell Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788, Midland. Visit wagnernewell.com. Concerts. The Hacienda Center, 12160 Texas 191 Frontage Road, Midland, has scheduled the following events. Today, Bronco. April 8th, Luis R. Conriquez, Los Hilagueros, Del Arroyo y Luis Sanchez. Odessa Pride Star of the Month. Keep Odessa Beautiful is taking nominations for Star of the Month through today. Star of the Month recognizes Odessa citizens who contribute to the overall aesthetics and health of the city by maintaining exceptionally clean and beautiful properties. Nominations for the program are open to the public from April through October of each year, and volunteer judges recognize several Star of the Month from all over Odessa with signature yard signs. A yard can only win the award once every 3 years. Support More Badges. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled Support More Badges event from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at Chick-fil-A, 3805 East 42nd Street. Men's Prayer Breakfast, Tampico Spanish Inn, 2411 West Wall Street, Midland, has scheduled a men's prayer breakfast at 8 a.m. Saturday. Blue Bonnet Bazaar has been scheduled from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn G, 4201 Andrews Highway. The Big Event. The Sandstorm Aggies Mom Club and Keep Odessa Beautiful have scheduled the Big Event City County Cleanup from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, starting at Slater Park Pavilion, 1001 West 38th Street. Volunteers may choose a campus of choice. The goal is to emphasize education on separating waste from recyclables. Students, clubs, and volunteers are welcome to participate. The event is eligible for Texas Scholar Hours. For more information, contact Becky Battershell at 432-413-9862 or Becky, B-E-C-K-Y, B. Shell at gmail.com or Desiree Caudell at 432-556-3348 or Desiree, D-E-S-I-R-E-E, Caudell, C-A-D-D-E-L-L, at outlook.com. Fitness Event, Tall City Brewing Company, 3303 West Golf Course Road, Midland, is participating in the annual Midland AF Fitness Event from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. For more information, call 432-218-7175. Mike Ryan Concert. Dos Amigos, 4700 North Golder Avenue, has scheduled Mike Ryan to perform Saturday. Doors open at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, visit dosamigos.com. Annual Blue and Red Bash Denim and Diamonds. The fourth annual Blue and Red Bash Denim and Diamonds benefiting St. John's Episcopal School will take place from 6:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Saturday at Rolling Sevens Ranch Event Center, 11700 West County Road 122. Jerry Dugan will be the musical guest. There will be live and silent auction items. Adults-only event. Sponsorships and tables are available. To sponsor, for a table or individual tickets, call 432-335-0815. Email FaustJohns, FaustJohns, at gmail.com. Dueling Pianos Fundraiser. Hal Togo and Sewell Ford has scheduled Dueling Pianos event benefiting the professionals of Odessa Lions Club Saturday at the Ector County Coliseum, Barn C, 4201 Andrews Highway. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $25 and VIP table for eight is $1,000. Comedy Night. The Class Act Event Venue, 101 North Mineola Street, Midland, has scheduled Comedy Night featuring Raymond Orta and his hilarious crew at 8 p.m. Saturday. Doors at 7 p.m. Whiskey Myers with Drake White. The Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North Farm to Market, 1788 Midland, will present Whiskey Myers with Drake White Saturday at 8 p.m. For tickets or information, visit wagnernoll.com. Black and White Ball to Honor Friends of the Arts by Michael Bauer. The fourth Black and White Ball will honor local arts leaders and also tip a hat to high fashion. The event is scheduled 6:30 p.m. April 2nd at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. This year, Odessa Arts will honor Friend of the Arts recipients Joanne Davenport Littleton, Lisa Noel Wagner, and also the ECISD Fine Arts Department. This is a chance for everyone to come out and have a good time and support the arts and honor the recipients, Randy Hamm, Executive Director of Odessa Arts, said. Each year, the Odessa Arts honors its Friend of the Arts recipients during the Black and White Ball. He said each of this year's honorees have helped the Odessa Arts. Lisa Noel Wagner, her family is on so many buildings, and they all have a connection to the arts, Hamm said. We thought it was important to honor her locally, not only for her contributions, but her family's contributions to the arts, because they're the foundation of the cultural landscape here in Odessa and the Permian Basin. Her influence strikes beyond Ector County. Hamm also talked about Littleton, who is the president of the Black Cultural Council of Odessa and has organized the annual Juneteenth celebration. Joanne Davenport Littleton is the driving force behind the Black Cultural Council, which hosts the largest Juneteenth celebration in the state of Texas, Hamm said. That was a no-brainer that we needed to honor her for her contributions, for promoting and the contributions of Black cultural leaders in Ector County. Hamm spoke highly of the ECISD Fine Arts Department, which will also be honored. We get a lot of recognition for our sports teams, but in the band and orchestras, debate and theater teams, they typically come back with Division I ratings all over UIL, and we have a phenomenal fine arts department that I'm a product of, and that says a lot, Hamm said. It was important that we recognize not just the contributions of one individual at ECISD's art department, but the entire department. This year's theme will be the Art of Fashion. The night will be completed with a presentation of a collection of black and white looks created by Austin designer and Project Runway alum Daniel Esquivel. Last year we had James Bond as our theme, and this year we're launching the Permian Basin Fashion Week, Hamm said. Our dear friend Daniel Esquivel was a contestant on Project Runway, and he's creating a 12-look collection to debut at the Black and White Ball. We put a couple events in front of the ball. He'll be here on Wednesday, and we'll have a designer reception at the Marriott on Wednesday evening, and then on Thursday, we'll have model fittings at Connection Christian Church, and that way Daniel can fit the models and do the hair and makeup. And then on Friday, we'll do a dress rehearsal, and Saturday we'll have the event. It won't be the first time that Esquivel has been to the Permian Basin, and Hamm says Odessa Arts is excited for his return. It's fantastic, Hamm said. Daniel has been coming to the Permian Basin for about 4 years now. Odessa Arts and Keep Odessa Beautiful partner to bring the Recycle Fashion Show every year, and Daniel always serves as a judge, and he's a wonderful judge. After his last appearance, he said he wanted to do a little bit more and asked about doing a runway show. So that kicked off this whole thing. It was Daniel's idea. Opinion, our view. Libson, a true First Lady of Odessa. The point. Edith Libson Hardy leaves behind a legacy of support of both Odessa and the arts. Heaven gained a good one last week with the passing of Edith Libson Hardy. The longtime Odessan was a cherished supporter of the arts in Odessa and a beloved teacher. We are sad to see her go and send our support to her family, along with our amazement at a life that was truly well lived. Edith worked as a Texas teacher for 31 years, primarily in music education in Ector County. She was a tireless volunteer who had a way of bringing others into whatever endeavor she was working on. People loved Edith and wanted to help her with whatever current project she was working on. There were a lot of them. She had a true passion for the theater, and the Permian Playhouse is the strong community theater it is today due to people like Edith. She was a longtime board member and even had her entire family involved there. The Playhouse presented her with an award for volunteering over 1,000 hours. Edith served on the board of directors for many organizations, including the Texas Alliance for Education and the Arts. Texas Music Educators, The Globe of the Great Southwest, Heritage of Odessa Foundation, Odessa Pan-Hellenic, Pan-American Roundtable, the Nathaniel Davis Chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution, where she served two terms as a regent, and many others. She also worked with Peter Fox to establish the Texas Arts Council. Her volunteer hours ranged from 300 to 1,200 hours per year. Edith was a charter member of St. Paul's Presbyterian Church, a Paul Harris Fellow with Rotary Club, and a Rotary Anne. Edith's years of public service led to a number of honors, including the 1975 International Who's Who of Music, 1996 Heritage of Odessa Foundation Community Service Award, 2002 First Lady of Odessa Award from Beta Sigma Phi, 2002 Spirit of Odessa Women Award from Medical Center Hospital, and the 2004 Lifetime Achievement Award from the Odessa Council for the Arts and Humanities. Her many, many contributions go on and on. She is someone who made Odessa shine just a little bit brighter. She did all of this while raising a family and teaching. But here's the really neat thing. She did it all with grace and class and always kind words for all. Edith's family can rest assured that she will always be remembered as one of Odessa's true first ladies. A memorial service officiated by David Chancellor will be held in Odessa at 3 p.m. Saturday at Westminster Presbyterian Church.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.